We're turning in our Bibles this evening to the Epistle of Paul and to the book of Romans and chapter 15. The Epistle of Paul to the Romans and the chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 14. And I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Elysium I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go on to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. I want this evening to draw your attention to those latter verses that we read together. It may seem strange verses to speak upon, but I want just briefly to draw your attention to them. Verse 24, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I somewhat filled with your company. But now I go on to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. In these words, our attention is drawn to the Apostle Paul. While he may have been small in stature, his success was enormous. There isn't enough books to contain all that he accomplished. Being converted on the road to Damascus, he along with Barnabas became one of the early church's first missionaries. Being sent forth by the church at Antioch, he made three long journeys across the Roman Empire. He preaching the gospel, many souls were converted. Being gathered together, many new churches were planted. His enemies accused him of turning the world upside down. However, the truth be told, he turned it the right way on. Of the 27 books in the New Testament, he is credited with writing 13 of them. And despite suffering much opposition, he refused to give up. His great ambition was to preach the gospel where the name of Christ had not been made known. And now, bringing his remarks to a close, he reminds these believers that his accomplishments were not down to his intellect or to his personal drive. But he said in verse 15, because of the grace that is given to me of God. In other words, he was saying that this success was not down to his personal strength, but rather it was down to Christ working in him. As if to emphasize that, he said in verse 19 that it was by the power of the Spirit. He gives all the glory for all of his accomplishments unto the Lord. And you know, tonight, rather than boasting in self, we ought to be boasting in the Savior, giving to him all the glory and the praise. Indeed, the psalmist, surveying the great things of the Lord had enabled him to accomplish, he said in Psalm 34 in the verse 2, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." He gave the credit for the great things that he had done, not to man, not to himself, but he gave it all unto the Lord. You see, rather than boasting in man, we ought to be boasting in the Master, ascribing all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor unto the Lord. Winston Churchill, the great prime minister, in one occasion was sitting on an outside platform waiting to speak to a very, very large crowd that had gathered to hear him. My, the chair lady of the gathering leaned over to Churchill and she whispered in his ear, "Doesn't it thrill you, Mr. Churchill, to see all those people out there who came just to see you?" Churchill turned around and he said, "It's quite flattering. But whenever I feel this way, I always remember that if instead of making a political speech, I was being hanged, there would be twice as many people." And you know, when someone says to you, "You have done a great work," do not be tempted to take the praise to yourself, but say, "It wasn't me," like Paul here. "My, it was the Lord working in me. My, it was the Lord who guided me. It was the Lord who took the word that I sowed. It was God who caused it to burst forth, bringing eternal life." Never forget that without him, we can do nothing. But with him, we can be more than conquerors. And like Paul, we looking back and seeing God's hand in our lives, seeing things that we have been able to achieve for him, let us take that time to ascribe the glory, to describe the praise even unto him. He alone is worthy of our praise. And so I want just for a few moments tonight to draw your attention to these words of Paul to these Romans. I want you to notice firstly there the plan he devised. Paul had been shipwrecked on 3 occasions, stoned, imprisoned, beaten many times over. And yet instead of slowing down and taking it easy, he said in verse 24, "Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you." By the word "you," he was referring here to the Roman believers. However, while he intended visiting the city of Rome, it was not his ultimate destination. Desiring to evangelize the western limits of the Roman Empire, he intended to travel to the land of Spain. It seems that at that particular time, there were in parts of that land considerable number of Jews. Whether Paul actually reached Spain or not is not made clear. While some scholars doubt it, others believe that he did. Clement of Rome, writing to the church in Corinth in 96 AD, mentions that Paul had reached the limit of the west. For those who lived in the city of Rome, the limit of the west was the land of Spain. However, we don't know for sure. We don't know whether he actually reached or preached in the land of Spain. However, what is clear here is that Paul had a definite plan, or Paul had an ambition in his heart to reach these unevangelized people. He had a desire, a plan to go to the land of Spain. You see, rather than being drifters, we ought, as it were, to be determined. Those who have a plan or who have a goal in life. Indeed, you think of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. His very first recorded words were spoken when he was just 12 years of age. Speaking there in the courts of the temple, he said in Luke 2:49, "How is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And although he was only 12 years of age, he had a clear vision of what he wanted to do, and more than that, what the Father wanted him to do. And at the end of his life, lifting up his voice, he cried from the cross, "It is finished." He had a plan, a divine plan, a plan that he accomplished. You see, rather than living aimless lives, we ought to be living ambitious lives. Lives that have definite goals to be reached. You know, in the book of Alice in Wonderland, there is an exchange between Alice and the cat. Alice asks the cat, "Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" The cat very wisely replied and said, "That depends a good deal on where you want to go." Alice stated, "I don't much care where." The cat then said, "Then it doesn't really matter which way you go." And sadly, there's lots of people like that today. They drift through life. They have no plans. They have no ambitions in Christ. They have no goals. They just drift from aimlessly from day to day. You think of the archer or the rifleman. One may use a bow and arrows, the other may use a rifle. But you know, they have something in common. When they go out and they take their rifle or they take their bow, they have a target. They have a target that they want to hit. And you know, without something to aim at, your life will have no direction. And you will achieve nothing. Here was Paul, and Paul had a plan. He had an ambition. He was wanting to go to Rome and then go to the unevangelized land of Spain. And I wonder, believer tonight, have you a godly ambition? Have you a plan for your life? Have you goals? Have you goals that you have set? And are you seeking to reach those goals for Christ? Don't wander aimlessly in life. Have a goal. Have a plan. Paul said, "I will go to Spain." He had a plan. We should have a plan in life. Not only the plan he devised, but notice here, the people he desired. Revealing the desires of his heart, he said, verse 23, "But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you." The city of Rome reached its zenith between the 1st century BC and the 2nd century AD. Its pomp and its splendor eclipsed that of every other city. And yet, desiring to enter into its paved streets, Paul's desire was not to see the emperor's court, nor was it to converse with the philosophers and the men of intellect that lined its great streets. It was, in verse 23, to come unto you. His desire was to meet with and to converse with the saints of God. Though these saints were hated by the world, yet being loved by Christ, Paul longed to fellowship with them. You see, rather than shunning, there should be a seeking of the people of God, a desiring to fellowship with them. Indeed, John, taking up his pen, he said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If they were walking in the light, or if they were walking in the truth, then they would not only be fellowshipping with the Savior, but they would be fellowshipping with the saints. They would be seeking out the companionship of those who were walking with the Lord. Indeed, the Spirit of God falling at Pentecost, wonderful things happened. My souls and their multitude were broken and gloriously and wondrously converted. And being converted, we read in Acts 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They not only remained steadfast in their teaching and in their prayers, but in their fellowship. In fact, remaining steadfast in their fellowship, they were then able to remain steadfast in their doctrine and in their prayers. Our fellowship is not only to be with the Savior, but it is to be with the saints. We should desire their company. You know, Lucian, who was born in around 125 AD, he observed the early Christians. He was a writer. And this is what he wrote of the early Christians. It is incredible to see the fervor with which the people of that religion help each other in their wants. They spare nothing. Their first legless leader, Jesus, has put it into their heads that they are brethren. And looking upon the early church, the thing that he noted was their fellowship, their desire to be with each other and to help each other. John Fawcett was born on the 6th of January, 1739, in Brentford. He became the pastor of Wainscate Baptist Church. After 7 years, he received a call to a very large, prestigious church in the city of London. He accepted that call. He got the horse and the cart, and they brought out their furniture, and they put it onto the little cart, and they headed away from the manse to head for a new calling in the city of London. And as they went down the road, the people of their little church gathered along the road. The tears were tripping them. And eventually Mrs. Fawcett, she turned and she said, "John, I cannot bear to leave." And John turned and he said, "Nor can I." The order was given. The furniture was taken back to the house. The following Sunday, he preached in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And ending his sermon, he ended it by reading a new song. And it read, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above." And does Paul here long for the fellowship of God's people? There should be that longing in our hearts for the fellowship of the people of God. We should love their company. We should love to be able to pray with them, talk with them, consider the scriptures even with them. But not only the people he desired, but notice the problem he discovered. Explaining to these Roman believers his delay in coming to them, he said in verse 22, "For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you." On another occasion, he writing to the Thessalonians believers, he confessed that Satan, or the devil, had hindered him coming to them. However, on this occasion, it was not Satan who had hindered him coming to the church in Rome. In verse 25, we find that he was now instead on his way up to the city of Jerusalem, not to preach the gospel, though doubtless he would do that, but to distribute gifts that had been donated by the Greek churches. And while he had in his heart an ambition to go to Rome and to Spain, yet the Lord now opening up another door, he put to his side his own ambition, and he went first up to to Jerusalem. And why we should have a plan, yet our plan should never take precedence over his plan. We must always be willing to set aside our ways for his way. Indeed, Paul, on another occasion, visiting the churches in Lystra and Iconium, he with that missionary zeal and passion in his heart, he set his eyes upon a new territory. Looking towards Asia Minor, he suddenly found his path blocked. And eventually, coming up to the city of Troas, we read in Acts 16, verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And rising up, he immediately set sail for Europe. He set aside his own plans to go to Asia Minor. And he walked in the way that God had said. Plans are wise, but they ought not to be set in stone. We must always be willing to set aside our ways for his ways. The hymn writer wrote, oh, I delight in his command, love to be led by his dear hand. His divine will is sweet to me, hallowed by blood-stained Calvary. When his plans run contrary to your plans, are you willing to give up your plans? You see, we are to be guided by his hand. I say to you, child of God, this evening, pass through every door the Lord opens and turn away from every door that he closes. My Paul had this desire to go, but God directing him in another way, he went. He went. And we should have plans, but if our plan should be contrary to his, we must always submit to his way. Then finally, I want you to notice the prayers he demanded, seeking to come to them. He said, verse 24, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you. Or as some render it, to be helped forward by you. In intending to evangelize the land of Spain, he expected these Roman believers to help him. Some commentators believe that by these words, he was here asking for financial help. However, Paul had a fixed policy of not asking for personal support. He never made known his financial needs to potential donors. When he ran out of funds and when he was ministering in the city of Corinth, he instead began to make tents. And when the sport eventually came in, he then devoted himself more fully to the ministry. And as such, I believe that Paul here was not asking for financial support, but rather he was here asking for their prayers. If he was going to reach the land of Spain, if he was going to evangelize that people, he knew that he needed their prayers. And like Paul, we need to recognize that without prayer, we will be without progress. It is on her knees that the church goes forward. Indeed, Paul urging the Ephesian believers to always pray with all prayers or all types of prayers for all saints, he then added in Ephesians 6:19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You see, while Apollos was a natural orator, the Apostle Paul was not a natural orator. Indeed, the Corinthians taunted him. Now they said that his speech was contemptible. And realizing his own weakness, Paul now sought them to pray for him, to pray that he would have liberty. And as a believer, as believers, we have a responsibility not only to pray for the saints in general, but we have a responsibility to pray for the servants of God in particular, to pray for their success. Have you ever watched a rugby match? A player catching the ball, he heads for the touchline. However, while he's got the ball and he's got it tight, unless his teammates get in front of him and open up the way for him to get through, and the rest of them guard him from tackles behind, he'll never make the line. And the preacher may have the ball, but without the team praying for him, he'll never cross the line. He'll never cross the line. He never see the work done and God glorified. You see, if we are to succeed in the ministry, whatever the ministry that God has given us, maybe he's given you the ministry of teaching boys and girls. Maybe he's given you the ministry of giving out gospel tracts. Maybe he has given you the ministry of preaching in the open air or some other type of ministry. My friend, without prayer, we will achieve nothing. And Paul recognized that, and he was saying here, I need you, brethren. I need you. Pray for me. And how we need to remember those who carry the gospel, whether it's here or in the mission field or in the Sunday school class. We need to pray for them. We need to lift them up before the throne of grace. Now, here was the Apostle Paul, looking forward. He had plans. He wanted to go to Rome, and then he wanted to go to Spain. And placing himself in God's hand, what a ministry he had. Countless souls were saved. Churches were established. And if only we give ourselves, like Paul, to Christ, he can use it. Maybe he doesn't want you to do the work that Paul did, but he has a particular work for you to do. In fact, he has a work for you to do tonight. He has a work for me to do tonight. And that is to pray. To pray. Oh, may we not feel even in this work as we come tonight. We might lift up the work of God and persevere in prayer until we see men and women brought to Christ and his name lifted up and glorified. May God help us even to labor tonight in the place of prayer. We're going to turn to our hymn books again. We're turning to the hymn 682, the hymn 682, Hark the Voice of Jesus Crying, Who Will Go and Work Today? Fields are white and harvest waiting. Who will bear the sheaves away? The hymn 682. And we'll stand and we'll sing the whole hymn.